Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Mullen. Welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. This series of podcasts is dedicated to helping parents and other people who are connected with children. We help children behave and be their best. I'm in a unique position to share this with you because I've been a child counselor and play therapist for nearly 25 years. I'm also a mom. I learned many lessons from my child clients and my own children. This informed my parenting as well as the parent consulting, coaching that I do, and it's part of my clinical mental health practice. I recognize in working with thousands of children and parents that there are simple principles for parenting. I'll cover more than 20 principles for parenting so you too can have freakishly well-behaved kids. These principles are simple and life-altering. They will change and enhance the relationships you have with children, how children behave, and how you feel about yourself around children, and improve your overall parenting esteem. Our special guest is really going to help with that today, too. So be prepared. In this particular podcast, I'll be talking about a specific principle or lesson and how you can apply it. I have a special guest today that will further our conversation about parenting and children, and you'll want to stay tuned for my upcoming book. It should be out in like 2 months, Raising Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids, and check out my website, www.integrativecounseling.us. where you can find resources and web courses for parents and professionals. And today, we are really lucky to be talking with Jaleh Mohammadi about parenting strategies. Jaleh is going to share strategies that work when we as parents are upset and angry, which is when our strategies typically don't work. So this is super important. Jaleh is a licensed mental health counselor, a credentialed play therapist, and a circle of security facilitator, among many other things, but we would run out of time if I listed them all. She helps parents and children in those capacities, and she's going to help all of us today. So welcome, Jaleh.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me, Dr. Mullen.
Thanks for doing this. So there were some specific strategies that you had in mind, but talk about those. I wanted to ask you about what happens to parenting choices when kids, what happens to parenting choices, what happens to parents when kids push their buttons? So, okay, good.
And I think sometimes parents are a little worried that that's not okay for that to happen, but I think we're all human, and we are going to get our buttons pushed, especially when it's our kids, and sometimes it feels like our kids know exactly which buttons to push for us. So I run a program that's called Circle Security, and so part of the Circle Security, it talks a lot about that emotional connection with your kids. And so one of the ways that they word that, which I just find really easy to remember, it's called shark music. So when you think of shark music, you think of like, da-da-da-da. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So sometimes you'll have, sometimes when kids are doing different things, so whether it's like the talking back, or they're crossing their arms, or maybe they're crying, and you're just like, why are you crying about this? That is somebody's shark music. And
okay.
Parents definitely have their own shark music. And so I think part of when that happens, it's really helpful to acknowledge that that's something that is your shark music. So that's something that bothers you, it bugs you, and then that's when maybe some of the strategies that you have, they're failing, they're not working for you.
Okay. So there's something kind of creeps up on you as a parent. You can feel it. You feel it like...
Like a shark.
Yeah. Well, that might not even be creeping, but you can definitely feel like something's coming and I'm going to lose it.
That's right. And I think sometimes people try to force it, even if they're right on that brink and they don't know if they can handle it anymore, and they're still like, okay, I'm the parent, I'm the adult, I have to just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of my way of saying, like, it's okay. Like, you have permission to not have to just deal with that and force it. Maybe listen to that shark music and then make another choice for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So part of what you're teaching parents is how to interrupt that process.
That's right.
Okay. So how do you do that?
And
it's a little too late for me because my kids are 14 and 18.
Oh, no. And okay. I love that you said that. So it really can, I say it doesn't, there really is no age. I mean,
okay.
This is something that you can incorporate. I mean, even as an adult,
uh-huh.
I mean, I think I'm an adult child. So even with my parents, I'm sure that there are things that I do that maybe drive them crazy mm-hmm. still. And so sometimes what I suggest to people is we use timeouts often for discipline.
Right.
And I mean, that's like one of the most, I think, feel like possible, most important and maybe most easily talked about ways of sort of intervening and punishing kids. Yeah. But I think timeouts for parents.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not something that's maybe talked about as often.
No.
But it's so helpful, and I think can really help with some of that sharp news that comes up.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel relieved because I used to do that all the time when my kids were little. I used to say, like, either you get a timeout or I get a timeout, but one of us needs to kind of like vacate the premises.
Mm-hmm.
I probably said it a little bit more child-centered than that, but I do think that, and I loved how you just said, like, it's something that you can use as an adult too, because like the other day I got my button pushed at a conference, and
mm-hmm.
I was with some of my colleagues, and I was like, I felt like I was going to, like, lose it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, breathe. And what I said to my colleagues was, you know what, because they were like, what are you going to do about this? And they were helping me, allow me to be maintain being riled up. And so I was like, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to wait 24 hours and then decide how I want to handle this particular situation. And I didn't even think about it in that capacity, but that's what – that often derails us as parents, but it derails us as people.
Big time.
Yeah.
I don't really get, like, I think of different relationships that I have in my life, and I think, like, I mean, the most intense feeling I've ever had, how much am I going to get done when I'm feeling that strongly about something? I think it's like when we have even a minute or two minutes of just time to take a couple deep breaths and maybe gather our thoughts, we can speak so much more, I think, effectively and calmly and nicely.
Yeah. Well, and actually, in that just example that I was sharing, is I didn't wait 24 hours. I made it more like 5 minutes because I figured out a way to communicate what I wanted to communicate without spitting nails because I was so angry. So, but I think I think part of what happens, and this is why I always say, like, I'm really against even spanking children in any capacity, is because you do it when you feel out of control. And
yeah.
And so what we, it's not just what we do in terms of corporal punishment with kids, with parents, but even what we say to them. And you can't, I always used to share this with my kids, and even some of the kids that I see in counseling, you can't take what you say back.
Yeah.
You can say sorry, but you can never take what you say back. And I think that sometimes as parents, when we get our buttons pushed, that's when we say those things that our kids remember. We can't take them back, and they make dents in them. I don't know how else to emotional dents.
That's exactly it. And
not
to mention, I like what you said about with spanking and just that kind of punishment. It's not really teaching a new behavior.
No.
And so, you know, when we as parents or just as people, I think when we're getting really frustrated and we say things that we don't mean, you're also kind of showing your kid, like, so when you get really angry and upset, then you raise your voice and you respond this way, as opposed to when you get to sort of calm yourself down, you give yourself your time out. That's a really good model for your kid.
Yeah.
For them to have a time out.
Well, and I think that's the other part of it. So you want, so like, this is like win-win-win, right?
Yeah.
So you don't say anything you regret. You don't lose your crap.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of it is now you've modeled for your kid when you know what it can look like when they're feeling upset and angry, that they don't have to go off the wall or do. But and yet, like, there's this other piece, like, I think that's kind of underlying that says, but I still was angry. And I think a lot of times, I just came from a meeting about aggression and anger in schools and stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of times the way that adults think about kids is that they just don't want them to be angry. They just don't want them to be aggressive. But this models for them, like, you can be angry. You just can't hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, because you have to live with that you've done that afterwards too.
Yeah. And there's that time in piece too. So I think there's one thing to just kind of, okay, I need a break, but then you never come back and talk about it. And so I think that's another thing to sort of add to this, is that when you need a timeout and you kind of calm yourself down, but then you're bringing it in, so that both of you are calm, and then we call that time in.
Oh, I like that.
So then you're kind of having this little powwow with each other where you're able to talk about what had happened, what led up to it, maybe what could have been done differently.
Right.
And I found that that's been really, really helpful for parents, even if it's just like a 1 minute break.
Yeah. So, you know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, and is there an example of a parent that gave you some feedback on taking a time out and then taking a time in, and like what was their experience with that, a parent who typically would have kind of flown off the handle?
Oh yeah. So that's lots of examples. Yeah. There's one in particular that I have in mind, and she really loved the circle of security, really connected to a lot of the different topics we went over. So a lot of what she was struggling with is that she had a little guy that when he would get angry, he'd get really explosive, he'd get physical, and so she just was really unsure of how to handle that. That was her shark music.
Right.
So she would hear that, and then she would yell right back.
Right.
And so it would become
that
this roar.
Yeah.
She's good. She said, it's not working. I'm just beating my head against a wall. And so that's what we had talked about, was she was getting too elevated, and so maybe to kind of take a little bit of a break. And so she said he was kicking the door a little bit and yelling still, but she stood her ground.
Yeah, because that's what he was used to. So he was like, I'm just going to keep doing what I've always been doing.
So it took a couple tries, and that's what I always encourage people to do, is you want to be consistent and not just try one time. And she did. She stuck with it for a couple weeks, and it got to a point where he actually asked her, he said, Mommy, can I go take a timeout?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big deal.
I was
deal.
Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So she just seemed so relieved almost, because she now was using the skill that was helping her. She modeled for him that this is a good way to sort of do that. But then also I think she was starting to realize, like, okay, I've been sending my kid away alone when he's that upset. Like, I can't get him to calm down because I'm not calm. Mm-hmm. So how can he do it on his own?
Right. And he was just a little guy too.
Yeah. So he needed to have her help with that. So ended up working really, really well, and that was something that they incorporate regularly.
Yeah. And I thank you for sharing that. One of the things that, as you're sharing that story, like, I'm really reflecting on is just how much that changes their relationship too.
Yeah.
Is that, like, on a day-to-day basis, but in the bigger picture, is that, like, that really changes the way that they relate to each other. And then, you know, I was saying about my kids being 14 and 18, but then how does that play itself out, you know, in the future? Because that, in the example you used, that's just a little guy now, but that's going to change their dynamic when he's a big guy, which at some point he'll be bigger than his mom. And so that's long lasting.
Oh, and that's what I think is so important about this. Cause I think it's one thing to think of, oh, well, of course it's important to have a really good connection with your kid, but it's like, okay, I already feel like I have a connection with my kid. But so what, you know, how can that sort of translate out? And I say, like, imagine them in their first romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Imagine them when they're friends with people.
Right.
And when they have these big emotions, and then if they're not really sure how to handle them or cope with them, they're going to run into some trouble.
Right.
So you helping, like, as you're helping yourself and you helping them develop those tools in their toolkit, I think that that's going, I mean, it will help their relationships for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And I think this is also one of those places where this happens to Jale and I and our mental health friends, is that, you know, we kind of learn something one way, then we see it through the eyes of the people that we work with, and it can't help but to impact us, you know, also. And I think so it becomes like a way that we sort of navigate the world, is like that you really can use Shark Week, you know, or
Shark music.
Yeah, that it's something that I think practicing what we preach is becomes a really important part of that. And that relates back to the parenting part. Like, if you're going to ask your kids to be able to do time out and time in, then you have to be able to do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with, so that just what you said just reminded me. So I use a lot of, I guess, examples of my own life in this group that I run. And I say them to them, I mean, even as an adult child, I learned about this kind of stuff, obviously, later on in life. And it's helped my relationship with my parents. So even, I think, talking to them a little bit about, I think I know what my shark is.
Right, yeah.
And talking about what their shark music is. And just now, as an adult, I can communicate with them about that.
That's,
and it's
so
actually
cool.
Improved our relationship.
Yeah. So it's not too late. And
it's
I think
never too late.
Okay, so parents, you really need to hear that.
Is that because Jale is much older than a teenager.
Yes.
Okay. So, and is working with her parents. So I think that's spectacular to have that like level of reflection on that too. So you said that when we talked a little bit before, you said the shark music was one of your favorites. What? And then you had another one that you wanted to talk
about.
Yeah.
So there's. So I would say if you're able to kind of be in this place with your child, then there's actually two words. That's all it is. It's called being with. We talk about this a lot in the counseling world, and so I think it's just like an easier way to remember it by calling it being with, which is really just any emotion your kid is feeling. If your shark music is not coming up, to just be with them.
Oh, that sounds so
which
simple,
Holly. It's a lot easier said than done. And I think a lot of examples are things like with certain kids that we work with, where from their framework, I lost a teddy bear, and it's
right.
the most devastating thing in the world to them. And then us as adults are thinking, like, you're going to forget about this in
right.
a week. But really even just saying, like, I know you're really sad about that. I know you're really upset about that. And just sort of writing that out with them
mm-hmm.
can be incredibly helpful for them.
Yeah. People have listened to more than one of these podcasts, have heard me talk about that with pretty much everybody. And I think that there's a reason for that. There's a reason for whether we're talking about traveling with your kids or grieving kids or kids who are being bullied or what we're talking about right now. This theme keeps coming up of you have to be present with your kids and acknowledge their experience, not from your experience, perspective, but from their perspective, and how difficult that can be to do when you are thinking about, like, oh man, I have laundry that needs to get done, and this other kid needs my attention, and I'm stressed out for X, Y, and Z. Is that being with and it sounds like such a simple thing. So
So well, usually I feel like it's like everybody has good intentions for the most part,
right?
So like if a kid is sad and they're crying, parents don't want their kid to feel that negative emotion. I don't think anyone wants to see a kid cry, but us as adults, we have those negative emotions.
Sure.
And so part of what I kind of encourage parents to think of it as is, well, I mean, as much as we don't want them to feel that, they are feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of acknowledging that will help them be aware of it.
Yeah.
And you accepting that, I think, will help them get through it a lot faster than if you're trying to just pull them out of
it. Yeah, deny them of that experience that they're feeling too. And then I think that also becomes a setup for later on in life, that they're then afraid to show you or communicate about how they're feeling, and they disguise them and they bury them, and then they wind up in our offices as mental health professionals.
Yeah,
so,
there's two terms actually that go with that. So we call it cueing and miscueing.
Okay,
so,
tell me about that.
So those are two, I think, helpful words to use. So cueing is just when a kid is showing a need. So if they're crying because they're upset about something,
mm-hmm.
that seems like a pretty obvious.
Right.
But what we tend to get in our office a lot of the time
mm-hmm.
would be kids who are miscueing.
Okay.
And so at about 11 months, kids can figure out what emotion maybe mom or dad is not really comfortable with, and then they learn to hide that need.
Okay, hold on, because what Jale was just sharing, and I think this is so important because we underestimate in children's knowledge and wisdom. And so what you were just saying is at about not even a year old that children can identify emotions in their parents and
which ones they like or don't like.
Okay.
So if kids are crying a lot and that's mom's shark music,
right.
And then she's got a really angry face when the kid is crying, they will learn and almost teach themselves to hide that need or hold that need. So then they maybe will show it in a different way.
Whoa.
I know. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Kids are amazing.
Yeah, they really are.
So they really shouldn't have to work that hard.
Right. So we can do something different.
Definitely.
Okay, so that's called miscueing when they're doing that,
when they're hiding their emotion,
or they're hiding their needs.
So then we tend to get some kids who are coming into our office for counseling who are having a lot of behavioral issues,
mm-hmm.
and so they're trying to get their needs met, but maybe in a way that isn't the best.
Right.
Another way of even saying that, so I think language is really important, which is another part of what you brought up for this particular podcast. So one thing that I notice that we say a lot when kids are having these behavioral issues is they want attention, they need attention. And so I challenge you guys to think of it as actually connection. So as opposed to attention, I mean, these kids are actually trying to find a way to connect with you. They're just not really figuring out what the best way is yet. So we can help them do that.
Yeah, I think that's super important, that difference between connection and attention, because I think also when you hear adults say that, that's what, it's almost like a negative thing. Like, it's weird. Like, well, they need attention. Like, it's never like, they need attention, right? But attention and connection are really different things. And, you know, I was just saying that I was coming from this meeting that had to do with aggression and anger and bullying. And, you know, one of the things that we know from the research around that, like that area, is that kids who feel connected don't bully.
Yeah.
Right? Kids who feel connected don't hurt other kids. Mm-hmm. Kids who feel connected show resiliency in all sorts of ways. And so that starts at home with parents. So what can a parent do when they feel like their child, because this is maybe a new way of thinking of it, when they feel like their child is like just trying to get attention.
Yeah.
So besides reworking that, you know, so like, no, they just need connection. So one of the things, I know I'm jumping a little bit here, but like one of the things that I frequently say to parents is like when kids are using, older kids are using baby talk or whining, that's a cue that they need nurturance.
Yeah.
So more like the connection piece. And so how do you help parents distinguish when a kid needs attention and then how to provide them, how to provide their child with connection?
It's a great question. So with the circle of security in particular, it actually gives you a map, which is nice because it's like people will say, well, there's not a map to help raise your kids. And this is the map, not the only map.
But there actually is a map out there.
And part of what it tries to tell you is that no matter how old someone is, we all have the same basic needs. And I really think that, and a lot of research will tell you, I think that connection piece, that human connection, is almost, if not more important to some people than maybe eating and drinking and other basic needs. And so on this circle, because that's why it's called circle of security, we want to be able to go out and explore, but then we want to be able to come into someone and feel connection.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain needs that are on that circle that have to get met, or else we will find other ways to get them met.
Okay, for example,
One of the things would be, so if a kid gets hurt and then they want to come in and get some nurturance, get some hugs, if they don't get that, then they actually will miscue you when they get hurt, and they will act like they're not hurt at all, and they'll shy away from you.
Oh.
So they know that you don't like, because you're going to say what? You're fine. You're good. You're up.
Yeah.
And you want to kind of
rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it. You're fine. You don't want to see them hurt. We
right.
have good intentions. But then kids will sort of learn, like, okay, Mom doesn't like when I get hurt. So,
they're
holding it in. So it challenges parents. I think the first piece is really figuring out what your shark music is. So
okay.
if there's something
so these
that
are
drives
really connected.
You, I think so.
Yeah.
I definitely think so. So I think if you know the stuff that really gets you going, so if it's like when your kid is standing up to you, the crying
right.
thing. I mean, I'm a therapist, and I remember when I first started, I guess, learning how to be a therapist, I was like, what is with this people crying thing all the time? What is this? And of course, I don't think that way now, but that was something that I had to challenge myself with because it wasn't something that I was as comfortable
right.
doing. And that had to do with, my parent shark music and sort of kind of mm-hmm. going back and figuring that out. And then once I figured that out, it didn't bother me as much because I knew mm-hmm. that's how that particular person had to express how they were feeling.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that the language that you're using today and the words to call these relationship dynamics, particular things is really helpful because I think that also that we're all aware or, you know, to some extent aware of these things, but we didn't have words for it. Like I could tell you the things that push my buttons, but I wasn't like, it takes a lot for me to get there.
Yeah.
But now if I look, like reflect on it, I'll be like, oh, but my shark music was playing way before my button got pushed.
You got a warning before the button.
Yeah.
You got a beeping.
Yeah, here it comes. If that's like kind of sonar. And then the being, you know, with part and the cue and the miscue and the attention connection, I think all of that gives you like a different way of looking and at relationships, period. And so this is so super useful because it you can take it out of the parent-child relationship.
Yeah.
But I think it also gives you a language for saying, like, oh, not just understanding how a relationship is working between you and somebody else, but between you and yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty deep.
It is.
I didn't realize this is where we were going.
I know. It was a pleasant surprise. Yeah. That's what I love about, I think, circle of security and just a lot of, because the language is an easy, and not in the sense because people need it to be easy, but
right.
it's just quick to remember, mm-hmm. and even, like, those reminders. So I find myself, which is, I mean, I don't know if it sounds like me talking to myself sometimes, but
that's okay.
I'll be able to recognize my own, so I'll say, da-da-da-da. I
right.
say it to myself,
uh-huh.
because I'll think, man, that person just said this. I know that that's my stuff, and so I can hear that music, but then it changes my reaction. It almost makes me, like, sometimes when people are like, stop, take a breath before
right.
you think about something before you respond.
Right.
Even thinking about shark music gives you, like, a second where you take a breath. Like,
yeah.
Breath.
I'm thinking of how powerful that would be for teachers to just be, like,
yeah.
when they started the school year with kids saying, like, listen, guys, I have some shark music,
yep.
and you probably do too. And the other thing that I think is really remarkable about that is I remember watching that movie when I was 7.
Yep.
So that was 41 years ago, just seeing a blip of it on TV. But that even children now, 45 plus years later, they know that reference.
Yeah.
They know that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Mm-hmm.
Like that still exists. It's part of our, like, it became part of our culture
yeah.
to recognize what that is. And so I think, like, okay, how powerful that would be to use that language with kids because they can understand that. And, and you can be really creative around that
yeah.
if you're a teacher, if you're a daycare provider, if you watch children in your home, any relationship you have with children, you can make better. And even in your adult-adult relationship, saying, like, oh, just so you guys know, my
shark
music is
we talk
is
about it, so even in this office, I know that you're aware of this, so
yeah.
A lot of our colleagues actually sat in a circle of security group, so they learned a lot about these things,
mm-hmm.
and so we're semi-joking with each other, but really, really we're serious, where we say,
yeah.
like, my shark music is coming up.
Yeah.
So whether that's something in session or whether that's something just with our day, and it's been really helpful with each other just
yeah.
as in supporting each other.
Right.
So a lot of this translates to all different kind of relationships, and I think the most important piece that you said is our kids. I mean, that's our main focus. And so to be able to know that for the rest of their lives,
right.
they can use these skills.
Well, and I think, too, if you be really creative with it in terms of how you use it with kids, you could draw shark fins. You could,
yeah.
You could do things that are fun and silly around it, so it doesn't have to be so, like, verbally laden, and we don't have to, think of all these words, because sometimes that's what's going to get in the way when we're trying to teach kids about coping skills and whatnot. And, you know, I even think, like, this is just on my mind a little bit today, the idea of bullying and cyberbullying and how, like, you could have shark music that's connected to technology
yep.
and that, you know, what that taking a time out from your technology and knowing
yeah.
then when you're ready to go back in,
okay.
you know, so it's even in your, not just relationships with that are direct face-to-face with other people or on the phone, if people still even do that, but that your relationships with people via social media or via, or even the medium of social media itself, because sometimes just having to,
mm-hmm.
even in a passive way, watching TV or reading your Twitter feed or anything like that.
Yeah, I think you and I both have talked about needing timeouts.
Yes, we have. So we have like less than a minute left. So tell me one thing that you really want to leave people with that you've taken out of Circle of Security and the lessons that you feel are just most important. And I know we could probably do another
forever,
podcast.
Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the point that you had said, if it's never too late, I think parents,
okay.
There's a lot of parent guilt that
yeah.
that tends to come up, and I think, like, I really try to repeat that point
yeah.
to them, because especially with me, like, I'm a
yeah.
grown up, and
yeah.
it's my relationship with my parents, so
yeah.
it is not too late to be able to incorporate some of these things into your parenting.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jale.
So
check out, see if there's a Circle of Security group in your area that it's definitely worth going, even if you have adult children. Jale and her parents could testify to that. But if not, you want to go back and really look at some of the things that Jale said. There are things that you could do right away, and they sound simple, but they'll take practice. And it sounds like that would be an important part for everybody to know. And I will make sure I have Jale back really soon to talk about some more of this stuff. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much for doing this, and have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.